As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome aboard The Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait.
We're going to roll with Mike White.
And with those words, the New York Jets have a new QB1. Welcome to an emergency episode of the Can't Wait podcast. I'm Tim McMaster, along with the Athletics Jets reporter, Zach Rosenblatt, and our producer, Marissa Dunn. I don't know if we've done an emergency podcast, which is crazy because it's just another typical Jets season. But I will say this, Zach, you always have to bring your microphone when you cover the New York Jets because you absolutely never know when just crazy nonsense is going to happen, and you are mic free today. But I think your computer's coming through clear.
Just a lot of rookie mistakes by me today. I didn't bring my computer charger with me either. So
I'm gonna
have to drive right back down to my parents to write my next story for a couple of days from now. but yeah, never a dull moment on the speed. That's for damn sure.
All right, yeah. So we're going to break this podcast into basically two angles, right? Zach Wilson is benched. That's number one. And then Mike White is the new starter. That's number two. To help us dissect that side of things, we're also going to be joined by the Athletic's Kalen Kaler, who recently had a long sit-down conversation with White as part of her series on QB2s. She'll get to talk about him now as a QB1, which is kind of fun. And also a programming note, we are going to actually post that full interview on this feed as well. So if you're listening on the audio version of this feed, if you're listening to this podcast, just let it play through and we're going to go right into that interview. So a little more information on Mike White, because we all know you can never have enough information about Mike effing White. But we are going to start with Zach Wilson. He's not QB2, he's QB3. Joe Flacco will be the backup on Sunday. Zach will be inactive. I'll start here, Zach. We did a podcast yesterday, feels like a month ago. and we obviously broke down all these possibilities. And my thought was, there's no way they're actually going to bench Zach Wilson. I thought they were sending a message by kind of putting this out there to see if it would kind of get him back on track. But you sounded like you were much more on the side of there's a really good chance that they go in a different direction this week. So congratulations to you, because you were right. Although I don't think you thought they'd call it today.
It's funny. Through our podcast, I believed that. And then this morning, and you know, you start reading stuff, you talk to people. And I went on the Bears podcast that we have here, and they were asking me about it. And then I started going back towards like, maybe they won't bench Zach. Maybe, you know, this Bears game is a good get right game for him. Like, maybe this was all motivational. And then Adam Schefter tweet comes first, and then Robert Saleh declares who the starter is, which is Mike White. Like, I'm not going to take credit because I honestly didn't stick with what I thought. I don't know. Something. This all is just so weird and unpredictable, and it's a bold move. We talked about this a little bit. You know, it's a very crossroads moment for both Zach Wilson and the organization. This is a guy they drafted second overall last year, and if you're benching him after 20 starts, you're both saying you don't think he's good enough to win games for you. And he has to take that as they don't think I'm good enough. And so, you know, how they go from here, it's going to be very interesting to see. I think Zach, we're going to talk about this, but Zach handled himself really well today. like really surprisingly well. I mean, I'm sure he's had a lot to think about. He talked to the team today. Sounds like the players were happy that he did that, based on the comments that happened after the game and all that. But I think Robert Saleh, I think he deserves credit for making a bold move here. You know, I imagine the organization invested a lot of money in Zach, ownership, GM, everybody. Like, they all put their job, you put your job on the line when you draft a quarterback second overall. They're winning now, so their jobs aren't on the line, really. So they kind of are lucky in that way. But, you know, it was a risky move to do this. And, you know, but I think they saw what was going on in the locker room. They saw what was going on the field. They decided it was time to move forward. I think Mike White being the guy is interesting to a degree, too, because, you know, he is unproven. He's 27 or whatever he is, but he only has a few starts. You saw the good and the bad last year. We'll get into that with Kalen. But, yeah, it's a very interesting spot to be in. And like we talked about, they're 6-4. They're, you know, on the cusp of the playoffs. And like I wrote in my column that just published a little bit ago, like this feels like same old Jets in that there's like a controversy in the middle of the season about the quarterback. But it's not the same old Jets because they're winning and they needed to do this to keep winning. So it's like a very like interesting thing. I mean, you can't go too many weeks without something crazy happening here, obviously. So there was nothing that happened in the bye week. So we were due. And so obviously the most insane possible thing has happened. And we're talking about Mike White as QB1 when, as Rich Cimini pointed out, all three of their quarterbacks have been the QB3 at some point this season. And it was never because of injury, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, certainly musical chairs, so to speak. The other interesting thing is that we talked about yesterday, I thought, was the fact that was this just because of the way he's been playing, or was it also because of his comments on Sunday? But now that we're here and the decision's been made, and knowing that the Bears are the opponent this week, it feels like it's pretty clear that it's the play on the field. Like, he could have said all the right things after the game Sunday, and we may be in the same exact spot because they're just not getting enough out of their quarterback.
Yeah, I think it's definitely predominantly that. I do want, like, there's no alternate reality where we can find out if this was still would have happened if he didn't say those comments, because he said them and then the reaction that happened. So I do wonder, like, if he says the right things after that game, if he puts it on himself, if he says, I have to be better, I need to do this better. Which he did today, but, you know, it's a little too late probably. But I do wonder if we're sitting here having this conversation. But the reality is, you know, the play was not good enough. It wasn't just the two Patriots games, as Zach himself pointed out today, that he's had a lot of trouble making just, you know, the layups, as they say, the easy throws. He's been missing a lot of those. And they've been building this offense in a way that they, you know, so he doesn't make mistakes, as we've talked about. They've limited what they can do because they were too scared of him making mistakes. And that's just not a way to be. I think this will open things up for Mike LaFleur. I think he's taken a lot of criticism since Sunday, and he put a lot of this on himself when he spoke to us today. But yeah, the performance just wasn't good enough. And this team is, like I said yesterday, he was a victim of their success. Like, they would have loved for him to work through his growing pains this year. It's clear he has a lot of them. Statistically, he's maybe the worst quarterback in the league. He's one of the worst rookies to start off his career in like NFL, at least in the last 20 years. So there's not a lot of evidence that he's going to get better, but they thought they would be able to work through it. And maybe you win 7 or 8 games this year, and then you go into next year competing for the playoffs. The reality is the defense is elite. They have talent on offense, and their quarterback is not doing his job. So Robert Saleh just looked at it and said, do I want to win right now, or do I want to think about what this means for our future? And he decided he wanted to win right now.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Interesting that Saleh also brought up Geno Smith, right? Which is obviously a familiar name for Jets fans.
So it's and he's a guy years, yeah.
that And he, I mean, Geno Smith didn't just fail with the Jets, right? He had some stops along the way before finally figuring it out in Seattle this year and doing the crazy, unexpected things that he's doing out there. But that they're kind of searching everywhere to try to find some kind of answers. And LaFleur referenced that too, that they just have to figure out how to, you know, get this right and try to figure out how to do that. Like, what are the answers? What can help Zach Wilson figure this out? It's weird. This quickly into the career of a number two pick, it just feels like these aren't the answers you should be trying to figure out.
Yeah. And the word that both he and LaFleur kept using was reset. Like, they need a reset, start from scratch with him. It's like, you know, when you play a video game and you have to restart it because it's freezing a lot and you have to go to the back and restart the system to try and get it back going again. And you're starting from scratch. Like, they're going back to the fundamentals. He's going to be running with the scout team. Michael Ford thinks that can be a good thing for him. I don't think it will be a bad thing that he's doing that, but in my mind, he only was going to get better with game experience. So it's like a chicken and the egg thing. Like, he needs to have the game experience to improve on these things, but they also can't afford to put him out there because they want to win these games. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it. I think the most interesting thing that came out of the Saleh press conference was that he was not willing to say he will not start again this year. He said, like, the goal is to get him back on the field this season. He said that. And somebody said, but what if, like, Mike White plays great? What if you guys are winning with Mike White? And he said, I'm taking a day to day by now. So I think they're hanging the carrot in front of him, which is probably the smart thing to do. So he has something to practice and try hard for. I think saw like Denzel Mims. I don't know that necessarily he was given his best effort every day when there was no possibility of him playing. Saleh even admitted, like, a few weeks ago when it was clear he was going to play, like, it was like a light turned on for Denzel, and he's been playing the way he has. So I think that's smart that Saleh is doing that. I can't imagine them going back to Zach unless things got really bad with Mike White. I mean, Joe Flacco is the number two right now. You know what you're getting with Joe Flacco. I mean, again, this is all repeating talking points from yesterday. There's a little more unknown with Mike White. But the offense, you know, that was a historically bad performance on Sunday, and this was the only thing they could really do to change that.
You were obviously in the locker room today when Zach Wilson spoke, and you mentioned off the top that he was kind of surprisingly said all the right things and everything, and you were impressed. So what about his demeanor, the words that he said, what impressed you the most about Zach Wilson today in a tough spot?
It was all, there was no woe is me. There was no why me. There was none of I don't deserve this. There was not I don't understand why they're doing this. He was like, I get it. You know, number one, his reaction being benched, you know, he obviously wasn't thrilled about it, but he said he didn't disagree with the decision because of how he's played. You know, I asked him about the way people have reacted to his comments since Sunday and how he's had to spend the last 3 days just everybody just attacking his character and all, you know, his ability as a leader and his accountability and all that stuff. And he said, you know, it was deserved. I need to be a better leader. He said in the moment, he didn't even realize what he had said until he was walking to the bus and his dad texted him. And it was kind of like, oh crap. Like, what did I just do? Kind of thing is how he presented it. And he said, he was even trying to like talk to some of his teammates on the bus. He spoke in front of them today and he was very contrite, I think. And he, according to guys like Corey Davis and Braxton Berrios and CJ Mosley, he put it on himself, which is what everybody wanted him to do on Sunday. You know, the thing that everybody has to remember, he's young, he's 23, and he's trying to be a leader of guys that are a lot older than him. And most of them are making more money than him. And I think he's learning still. He probably wasn't quite ready for the captainship, honestly. Like, I think I don't know. I think this could be a good learning experience for him. I was very encouraged by the things he said today. The problem is whether his performance will ever get better. And there's no evidence that anybody who started off their career like him has ever gotten better. But yeah, you know, he said all the right things today. He took all the blame. He even said, you know, I asked him that about how, like, did he go back and watch the film of the Patriots game and say, man, I can't believe I keep doing this, and this wrong. He's like, it wasn't just the Patriots games. I've been making like easy throws I've been having trouble with all season is essentially what he like admitted, the thing that we've all been talking about, but right. To hear him say it out loud, it was like, all right. So there is some self-awareness there. Maybe there's been a lot of reflection from him these last few days where he had to sit back and be like, okay, what's going on here? Like, is there something different I could do? And that's encouraging. Like the mental side of it, we're going to find out how he's going to handle this. Cause he can say that he's going to be a very supportive teammate and all that stuff. But when you know you're not playing it on Sunday. I imagine that's a lot different, especially for a guy that's never been a backup in his life. So it's there's, like I said, this is a very crossroads moment for him in his football career. It doesn't mean his career is over. I'd personally be surprised if he's their quarterback next year. I don't think you bench a guy 1 year and then start him the year after that. But yeah, I mean, maybe his career kicks off somewhere else or something, but this is going to be a real crossroads moment for him.
Wow, yeah, that was a bomb dropped right there. That's a whole you're going to open a whole other can of worms.
Well, I'm thinking about next year for my next story. So
laying out, and obviously there'll be a lot of options and there'll be veterans and it won't be a high draft pick, but that it is something interesting to think about. And that makes you wonder, like, if that's the mindset of the organization, and this will be the last question, then we'll get to Mike White. But if the mindset of the organization has become, you know what, this guy isn't going to be our quarterback next year, then you wonder if he will play again this season, right? Because I mean, what's the point? If you're, I guess, unless you fall out of the playoff race and maybe you want to give people a flash to give him some value, I don't know. But if he's really not in the plan suddenly for the future, then there's less on getting him back in the lineup this year.
So I wouldn't necessarily say he's not in the plans. It's more like my opinion that I'd be surprised as of right now if he's their quarterback. Yeah. I think their hope is that this winds up pushing him in the right direction. And I think they still believe in his talent. Like, you know, it's not like he hasn't shown flashes. He's shown flashes of some great throws. We talked about that, even that last Patriots game. We talked about that the other day. He had some amazing throws that day. He's mobile. He's the most mobile of all three quarterbacks they have. So he has all the tools and there's just been something missing. And, you know, if he gets another chance this year, then you hope that he's better. It'd be surprising if he was, at the very least. You know, even if I'm saying I don't think he's going to be their guy next year, at the very least, he's going to be in a competition for the job next year. He's not going to be handed the job. And depending on if they sign a guy like Jimmy G, I don't think he'd be coming here unless he was locked in as a starter, especially since he's going to be maybe playing for a Super Bowl with the 49ers this year kind of thing. So I don't know. This just opens up a whole can of worms about what this means for their future. They're focused on the right now, which, you know, we're in late November and they're focused on right now. They're not focused, as we've joked, we haven't had Dane Brugler on the podcast yet. This is the only thing to even really think about the future. There's other factors. You know, we've talked about some of the cap implications of things they have to do and stuff, but quarterback is going to be the storyline this offseason. We're not going to have to deal with a coaching search, a GM search. They have some needs, but it's not none that where you're like, they need to, you know, spend all their money to sign X player or whatever. So it's really going to be all about quarterback this offseason. And it'll be interesting because they're not going to be drafting one most likely because they're going to be in the 20s, assuming the season doesn't go off the rails. So, I think next year, I don't think that's necessarily on their mind right now, but I'm sure it's in the back of Joe Douglas's mind at the very least.
Yeah, it has to be. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we'll turn things around and talk about Mike White a little bit.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, let's roll things along to the new QB1 of the New York Jets. That is Mike White and Kalen Kaler, senior NFL writer at The Athletic, joining us now. Kalen with some extra insight into Mike White because she sat down with him as part of her QB2 series, which is the video is being featured on YouTube here at The Athletic. We're going to get the audio up on this feed as well. Kalen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. How are you? Exciting day.
You clearly just knew another day covering the New York Jets. Zach is quickly learned.
I mean, I wanted to have Mike on. So my series I'm starting is called QB2, and I interview backup quarterbacks across the NFL. But obviously, we all know that's kind of a loose term because they're shifting in these roles all the time. And as I was making my guest list, you know, dream guest list, Mike White was like at the top because of how he became a fan favorite last year with Jets fans, and really kind of piqued my interest in the job in general, because I remember when he started, everybody was like, wait, who is this guy? Like, he was one of the more anonymous backups, I think, in the league. Sometimes you have like those veteran guys who've been everywhere, like Case Keenum right now in Buffalo, who's been a starter himself for several years. But then you have guys like Mike White that were relatively unknown until they had their moment in the spotlight last year. So he was at the top of my list. And then also because I figured we're probably going to see him take the field sometime soon, you know, not just because, oh, Zach's not playing well, but like Zach was already hurt to start the year. His style of play just means, you know, the backups are just more likely to get in the game regardless. So I was like, okay, this is kind of strategic. Like, we'll see if he gets his moment again, but I did think there was a good chance it would happen.
You know, you mentioned him splashing onto the scene basically and going from Mike White, who's he, to Mike effing White, as Jets fans kind of know him now. And you know, he saw both ends of the spectrum. That Bengals game, he was incredible. 37 of 45, 405 yards, three touchdowns. The rating was 107.9. I think it was
Jersey in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, most yards ever in a debut. And then 2 weeks later against the Bills, four interceptions, which will just humble you in a hurry. And that's the NFL. But, you know, when you sat down with him, I'm assuming that sort of stuff came up. Just talk about, you know, does he have an opinion of where he is as a quarterback now after experiencing that versus going into that stretch last year?
Yes, we talked a lot about sort of like the mental side of it. First, I kind of asked him, you know, what is it like when you, because that was his fourth season last year. He's now in his fifth season. So he didn't get real regular season action until his fourth year on the job. And so we kind of talked about what it's like to kind of sit and wait for the right circumstance to occur. And, you know, he described it as a roller coaster because, you know, you can be in like four different roles in one season, essentially. You can go from the practice squad to, you know, a three to a two, and then you get your chance, and then you're the two again. And we've seen that play out last season with him when he was benched for Joe Flacco after that bad Bills game. So he knows really well how things can change so quickly. So we talked a little bit about that. And, you know, he said you just have to kind of stay positive and stay ready, because when you do get a chance, he said, that's your resume. Like, anytime you get into a regular season game, like, that is what people are looking at. So he said, what is the tape going to say? And obviously I talked to him before he had been promoted. I talked to him right after the bye week, the week 10 bye. So it was like 9 days ago. So at that point he was the QB2, but you know, we talked about what it was like when he was promoted to QB2 this year over Joe Flacco. And he was like, yeah, I mean, it was pretty anticlimactic. Like, Saleh just called him and said, you're going to be the QB2. And then he called Joe and he was like, and you know, we're both fine with it. He's like, whether or not I'm the one dressing behind Zach or Joe is, like, we know our roles and we have to sort of, you know, support the starter. And one thing that, like, you know, obviously you could be like, okay, well, like, every quarterback is going to say that, like, this is like, you know, what he's coached to say. But I will say, I asked him, cause Saleh, I thought, had a really interesting quote during training camp where he said, we have three starting quarterbacks. We feel like we have three starting quarterbacks between Joe, Zach, and Mike. And I'm like, that's interesting, because obviously we all know, like, the old adage that says when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. So I kind of presented that to Mike and I said, what do you think of that? Like, do you think it's possible to have more than one quarterback who's capable of starting? So I do think that is sort of the trick of, like, designing a quarterback room in the NFL. It's like, do you want your veteran to be like threatening to the starter? Like, not necessarily. Like, do you want your backup to be able to win you games? Yes, but you also don't want to, like, put any pressure on your starter where they're like looking over their shoulder, and you want a room that's going to support the other guys in the room. So I think it can get tricky when you have guys that, like, do have starting experience, have been starters, and there's multiple of them in a room. It's like, how are they going to, you know, combine and interact? And so I asked him, I said, what do you think of that saying? Like, do you think it's possible to have more than one starter in the same room? And he said, yes. And he said, he felt like it just depends on the guy's attitude. Nobody can have a big ego, is what he said. And he felt like they all were like that in New York. He was like, this is one of my favorite. And Zach, you wrote about the quarterback room back in August, like during training camp. And he said, you know, this is my favorite quarterback room I've ever been in. He's like, I don't want to diss, you know, ones from the past, but he's like, this one has been really good. Our dynamic is really great. We get along really well, and we're all here to support Zach. So, you know, theoretically, now that the roles have shifted, and now that Zach is he QB three now?
I guess.
Now that he's shifted down to roles, like, you would think they're all going to do the same thing. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how Zach is in that role. But yeah, I mean, I think that's what was fascinating. Is like, is it possible to have more than one guy that can start games and win games? And, you know, Mike said yes, and he said he's there to support Zach. And so now that he's in the role, we'll see what happens. But, you know, he did say this was his favorite quarterback room of his career. So it seems like the four of them have like a good thing going, a good chemistry, despite the fact that the starter was struggling recently.
The fourth being Chris Strebler, of course.
He's yes, important the legend.
Podcast.
There's like two legends.
Yeah, I know. It's seriously, yeah, a lot of cult heroes in there. It is interesting.
Like two anonymous guys, and then like Joe Flacco is there.
Yeah, the least anonymous is
Joe
Flacco. But that's why it's interesting what you said about him feeling like they have the personalities to support each other, because Joe Flacco is clearly not happy that he got demoted to QB3. Like, he's never been someone who like hides Buddy's feeling. And then you have, you know, Zach Wilson getting benched in this case. And I think they're all still saying the right things. You don't really get a sense that room is really split up in any way. You still see Joe Flacco and Mike White playing cornhole pretty much every day. I'm curious if Zach Wilson will start playing more now.
But, right, now that he has more
freedom. Yeah, like Mike White today, he said, Zach's my friend before he's my teammate. So he supports him. And Zach's like, my job now is to support Mike. So I think they're saying all the right things. It is going to be interesting to see how Zach handles it behind closed doors, obviously. But I don't know. You're an outsider, obviously. We're in the thick of this all the time. So what do you make of this decision to even just bench Zach? Because this is obviously it's a pretty huge deal.
I think it's the right decision because, I mean, as you said, he's a victim of his own success. I think that's a perfect way to put it. Like, if he was playing for the Bears right now, I don't think he'd be benched because, you know, they traded their two defensive stars. Like, they're clearly a team that is losing record. They are playing for next year, right? Like that. So I think if he was on a different team with a different situation, he'd probably still be playing, and he would be afforded a little bit more grace to kind of work through his mistakes. And because if you think about it, like, I'm in Chicago, so that's why like Fields is top of mind. But like, I mean, he didn't start playing better until maybe like 4 weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
It's been a relatively recent phenomenon. Like, the first 3 or 4 weeks of this season were really bleak. Like, there were some signs of him improving, flashes of him in the running game. You know, I mean, that's where he's so explosive, but like, it really took until probably four games ago to be like, okay, like, we can see it. And like, those guys are in the same draft class.
Yep.
So, you know, it's probably still too early to say, okay, Zach Wilson has nothing and he's never going to be anything. Like, I do think like he could still improve and be used in a way where he's productive, but so I do think like, it's like, okay, was he going to hit a point in like 2 weeks? Maybe, probably not. I don't know, but we won't know now because the Jets are winning and like pretty much every other position and unit is ready to, win playoff games except for quarterback here. So that is, I think, what the interesting thing is. But I have a question for you guys. Like, when I was thinking about Zach Wilson's 2 years in New York so far, last year, because I was going to ask Mike about this and then I just ran out of time. Last year, they had his private quarterback coach on the staff. Mm. This year, they don't, I believe. That was just like his rookie year. And I don't think that's ever been done before. I could be wrong, but I don't think like a team has ever paid someone's private quarterback coach to like be on the staff and work with the quarterback that they drafted. And I'm just, I feel like we don't talk about that enough because I think it's pretty weird. I think it's pretty weird. And I think it's weird that it didn't continue in a second year, or like, what does that mean? And like, did it help him? I don't know. Like, what do you guys know about that? What do you think about
that? The thing that it was a weird situation because their quarterback coach, Greg Knapp, died right before the season.
Right.
So I think that was part of the reason why they brought him in. It is, you're right though. Usually a coach doesn't die right before the season either, but it was a very unique situation. I mean, and bringing him in, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick viewed it as them coddling him.
Yeah.
And I get that argument. It was a interesting way to, this is a young staff too, which is another factor. You know, they have Mike LaFleur is only in his second season calling plays. Rob Calabrese had never been a full-time position coach. He's the quarterback mm-hmm. coach now. He got bumped up, I believe. So yeah, it was weird how that was handled. And I think they have, I don't know, they go like back and forth in the way they've handled Zach, because if you look at last year when Mike White had that game he had, Robert Saleh would not like commit to starting Zach when he got back from his injury. And then Mike White goes and throws three interceptions and then they bench him. And so then they go back to Zach. And so I don't, they've handled the whole thing a little strange. I think at the end of the day, they've wanted Zach to succeed. I think they've been saying all the right things. Even when he struggled, they've tried to like play it off as he's not the only one struggling. I think this was the first, that's why Robert Saleh had to eat some of his own words, because just a few weeks ago, he's like, it's unfair that Zach's being held hostage by, you know, these three turnovers he had against the Patriots. He said that he would only get benched if he got hurt. Like, he said a lot of these things. And clearly, I think he was just saying that to try and pump Zach up, because I think clearly he needed to be held accountable a little more for the way he was playing. And I think they finally realized that they couldn't keep coddling him in that way. So I think this coaching staff, it's a young staff. I think that was also honestly learning about how to do a lot of stuff. I think even within this season, we've dealt with, in the beginning of the year, Robert Saleh would say a lot of things that where you put his foot in his mouth, like the receipts comment and things like that. And as we've talked about on here, he's gotten really, really good at saying the right things at the podium. So I honestly think a lot of it is this young staff trying to figure things out as they go along. The Mike White part of it though, it's interesting to me that they're going with him, honestly, because they are, if they want to make the playoffs, mm-hmm. you know, theory, Joe Flacco is the known commodity. You know what you're getting from him.
It is weird because it's like Saleh said when he moved him to QB2, he was like, well, we want to see what we have in Mike, which that does make sense, but like not if you are a playoff team. Like if you're a team in playoff contention, I don't know that you're right. Like it doesn't fully make sense anymore because you do want to just be sure of what you're putting at quarterback. Yeah. And I do think like what we saw from Mike White was like so good and then so bad. So it's sort of like what I guess they're going to figure out now, like what is he really at the risk of the rest of the team? But
yeah,
going to ask too, like, how do you think that like Zach missing the first three games of the season, how do you think that affected his development?
Yeah, I think that's something everybody forgot about, because he's a guy. They had a lot of new pieces on this offense. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, Dwayne Brown, Laken Tomlinson. They just like loaded up on new pieces, and he didn't really get any time with them because he didn't work the training camp and the start of the preseason and the start of the season and all that stuff. So I definitely think that wasn't good, but also he would make a mistake one week. And then he would make the same mistake the next week. So he like just was not improving week to week, which was a problem. And, you know, I talked about this earlier a little bit, like LaFleur is saying that he thinks it can be good for him on the scout team, like getting these reps in the scout team where his mistakes aren't as big of a deal necessarily. But I don't know. I also feel like I don't know how much better he can get if he's not out on the field, because he's been good in practice. Like we've seen him make plays in practice. So I don't know. They're in a very interesting spot right now, and I don't really know what it's going to look like. Even like 4 weeks from now, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Yeah. I will say the last thing about Mike that I thought was really funny from my conversation with him was I asked him what it's like to play behind a guy like Zach who does take risks constantly and is scrambling. And he was like, it's so stressful. He's like, I said to him before, like, this is the most stressful job because, you know, he's on the sideline. Like, is he okay? Is he going to get back up? Like what's happening? And he said that like before Zach would go out, he would tell him, you know, keep leading us, but protect yourself. And he would like end everything he said to Zach with, please protect yourself.
Yeah, that was a great, that was really funny. Yeah.
One other thing I wanted to touch on and get both of your thoughts on this. Obviously, we're going to, all eyes will be on Zach and how he handles this. All eyes around the league probably will be on Mike White, because this is kind of an audition maybe for his future as well. But the one other guy I think that has suddenly a lot at stake is Mike LaFleur, right? Because he's kind of, it's kind of gone up and down this season where people have been like, oh, he's really calling great games now, to like, oh, what was going on? Like last against the Patriots, there was a lot of question marks. And he's always kind of had this get out of jail free card, and then he had the young quarterback who wasn't playing well. So now you have Mike White. I feel like the pressure's on LaFleur as well to kind of prove to everybody that he is the guy, that is the reputation that he has for being this young offensive mastermind is warranted.
Yeah, that's a great point. This is going to be big for him. You know, I think historically you look, he's had some of his best play calling games yarded, like their offense has been the most explosive when it wasn't Zach Wilson. You have the Mike White game against the Bengals. You have Joe Flacco earlier this year, especially in against the Browns. Yeah, even Josh Johnson last year threw for like 400 yards in a game. So you hope that this opens up the offense. I think he gets a lot of criticism when they have bad games, but in the wins, he's like overcome. He's had to overcome like Zach Wilson in a lot of ways. So I think you look at like the Bills game and like the Packers, the Broncos, like those games they won, I think he did a really good job. But yeah, this is really going to show like if he's a future head coach, like everybody says, and this could get him hired somewhere else. Honestly, if they go out and their offense is league average, even compared to what they've been, like I think that says a lot about his ability as a play caller.
I agree. And I'll just say that like Chicago is a good first opponent for that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I meant to ask you about that.
So like, I kind of believe in Mike White against the Bears. For sure.
It's a good place to start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would know. All right. Well, Kaylin, thank you so much for coming on. Great insight. And thanks, as I said, as this episode ends, if you just let your, with whether it's Apple or Spotify, let it roll, it'll go right into that full interview with Mike White. You can check it out. We were going to come to you Friday, but we are here with the emergency podcast instead. But everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. You can join The Athletic. Best deal of the year. $1 a month for 12 months. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait and enjoy the show on Sunday, The Mike White Show. We'll talk to everybody next week.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.